Hello, it's Friday, the 26th of April, the year of our Lord, 2024, and it's just gone 20:24 p.m. at time of recording. Back with another nightly news show. It's just me and my buddy Catherine Watkins today. Hello, darling.
Evening, lovely. How are you?
Good. I'm
That's
good.
actually quite mad, that is, isn't it? It's 2024 and the time is 2024.
Right, we've got loads to get into. Loads tonight, especially you. We're going to start, as always, with Kate Watch. I've been really busy doing interviews today, but the word on the street and across Twitter, the top article today on Twitter, Princess Charlotte's adorable talent that makes her mother Kate Middleton very happy. And the thing is, that's fascinating. This is the headline. But where is Kate? There is still absolutely no news. William apparently has come out and said he's going to spoil Kate rotten, and he's going to be there for his wife. Still no official time that she's going to be coming back to work. However, as Charles continues his treatment, he's still out there doing royal duties. I did see a picture earlier that that William was giving a press conference, and it said the banner behind him says, "Am I manly enough?" Which I meant to dig into that more because I thought that was quite funny. There has been another death. We had a Princess Beatrice or Eugenie's. One of them's ex-boyfriend has just died as well. So we're seeing quite a few men who are sort of like on the outskirts of the royal family, suddenly dropping dead. Catherine.
Yeah, it's strange. And I did see a little thing earlier, actually. It was a picture of Charles and Camilla, and it just said that Charles was back at his royal duties and all that crap. You know what I mean? I only saw a photo. I didn't actually read the article, but it's just something really dodgy going on massively. So we still haven't seen it. They can say whatever they want. We still haven't seen it. Do you know what I mean? They can say
No
that this is
proof of life.
happening and that's happening, but you know, it's still not, we're still not seeing it there.
And we're coming up to 5 months now.
I
Well,
know,
it
it's a long
must be
time,
five
isn't it?
months yesterday because Christmas Day was the last time that she was pictured. And so
Was it
that's
Christmas
literally a
Day, was
month and a
it?
day, 5 months and
Yeah.
a day.
Wow. Wow.
So yeah, we will keep our watch out for Kate Middleton. Right. So today, I had the great honour of speaking to a gentleman that our paths have crossed over many years ago, and I'm sure I met him. Like I never knew him, but he is a fighter for families and children. He has been dealing with social services and courts and forced adoption since around the 60s. He is now 92 years of age, and he came on the show with me today. And I urge everybody to go and listen to that show. But one of the topics we talked about is that social services, it seems, is going off the rails again. Now, this, I noticed it many years ago, around 2011, 2012, 13. With the amount of calls that the UK column used to get, was having problems with social services. Well, now it seems to be hyperspeed. And Ian really, really explained it. He gave solutions. And I'm not going to go into it because you need to hear from the man himself. But this is obviously something that's a major problem at the moment, also in Wales. And Kat, you've got a few words on this, haven't you?
Yeah. First of all, I can't wait to listen to it myself because I was at an appointment earlier, so I couldn't make the show. But Lou did the show with Ian, and I'm most of the way through his book. I do recommend his book to people. I was actually recommended it by Brian, one night a couple of months ago. Two books I was recommended. One of them was The Gulag of the Family Courts by Jack Frost, and the other one was Forced Adoption by Ian Josephs, who Lou spoke to today. And I've recommended it. I haven't even finished reading it, but I already recommend it to everyone. Because he really does, like Lou said, he's been dealing with this stuff since the 60s, and he is a true hero at 92 years of age, and he is still at this. You know, I've got so much respect for him. It's unbelievable. So guys, I've put it on my wall, the show. You can find it on Liberty Tactics anyway, but I have tagged 100 people on two posts of it, because hopefully I'll be able to pin it to my post and have it as the top post. But it just, Facebook doesn't allow me to do that. Sometimes it depends. So fingers crossed it will, and I'll put it up there, because we're all vulnerable to the system and everybody needs to know. So talking about social services, there was a case here yesterday in Wales, and I don't know mum of the children who were adopted or they've been taken by social services, two younger children. She's got two older children. And I was only aware of this case through another mum that I'm working with her case. And obviously she knows this lady through the circles, because that's how much is happening. You know, there are so many people who have had this happen that, you know, they're coming together and supporting each other. So what had happened is this mum, the one that was due up in Crown Court yesterday, as we know, the family courts are secret. So to get it into the criminal, but this was for a charge against her. So basically, at the beginning of all the adoption processes, and when they put an interim care order in, the first thing they do is gag the parents, right? It's so cruel. It is the most cruelest thing. So take the children, then you're not allowed to speak it. Well, you can speak about it to other people, you know, friends and family, but you're not allowed to publicize it, right? And if you publicize it, you end up on that charge of breaching that order. So what had happened is mum had tried to contact her children, and she breached a non-molestation order, which is what they call it. So she was up in Crown Court in Cardiff yesterday at 10 a.m. And we wanted to get as many people there for support for her as possible. She's currently spent 4 weeks in Eastwood Park Prison. This is a mum now who's lost her children. She's absolutely traumatised by the whole experience, as you would be, right? So she's been in Eastwood Park for 4 weeks. And her case was yesterday. So we arranged it all for meeting outside the Crown Court, you know, for 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock was the listing. I didn't get the memo later on. They'd already adjourned it an hour the day before. So it was at 11. So I got there quite early. Anyway, I thought I was on my own first. I thought, oh no, nobody's coming, because obviously I was too early and I didn't get a memo. But people started turning up then. Phil came first, and then people started showing up, including her two older children. So obviously, being a criminal court, the public gallery is open for us to go in. So 20 to 11, the case is supposed to be at 11. Some people who were there went into the court to obviously go and sit in the hearing. And they were told at that point, no point did anyone come out of the court and say it. They just waited until they came in. So 20 to 11, they said, oh, it's not here. It's not being listed here. They've moved it to Newport Crown Court. Now, Newport isn't that far away from Cardiff. However, you know, we had 20 minutes or 15 minutes to get. So everyone sort of jumped in their cars and we bombed straight up to Newport Crown. So as we were going into, you know, some of us had to stay outside because they were too late. But we were going into the court anyway, and there was a few people in there. But the judge was really annoyed because people kept coming in. Well, it was their fault I think what they were doing was they knew there was going to be a presence there, look, and they didn't want it. So I think that's why they changed at the last minute. I had a feeling they were going to adjourn it anyway, but I didn't think they'd move it. So they did anyway. So the hearing, she wasn't even there. It was by video link. She was still in Eastwood Park. So we missed the first 10 minutes. But afterwards then, it was the most, it was just so heartbreaking, Lou, right? She was sat on that chair via video link, sobbing. And I mean sobbing. She couldn't breathe properly. All she is guilty of, I say in inverted commas, is trying to see her children that were wrongfully removed from her. And she is traumatized by it. And she was begging the judge. She was looking at 5 years, Lou. That's what the sentence can be, right? If you break one of these non-molestation orders, 5 years. So she was sobbing and begging the judge, basically, please, I promise I'll behave. And it was heartbreaking. I was crying because I put myself in her shoes, you know. Anyway, what she ended up getting was 8 months, suspended for 18 months, and a 5-year restraining order. So she was coming home from Eastwood Park, which is a good thing. However, she's in a situation now where, because this hearing has gone ahead and the judge was clear about her not doing anything, anything else. And if she does, she goes straight to prison. There is no hearing, right? So she's in a situation now where she still can't contact her children. It's so, so cruel. It's unbelievable. And I found out as well that she was unaware that anyone was even there. She didn't know. She wasn't told that there were people there supporting her and whatever. And maybe that's why they didn't bring her in person, so she couldn't see, you know, she couldn't see that there were 20 people in the gallery and some people outside supporting her, you know. I think it is, like I say, it's a cruel system. So that was that. Then her family went and obviously got her from Eastwood Park. But the thing is, guys, right, no, justice can't be done. All the family courts are in their secret, right? How can justice be done in the dark? Justice can never be done in the dark. It has to be done in the light. This is why we need criminal cases where you can bring your evidence. This mum was far too traumatised. She had a representative, you know, she had a barrister. But people who are able to go in there and present their evidence, they don't want in there, you know, because obviously it highlights what is going on in those family courts. But, you know, we're talking adoption orders are the only things you can reverse. So you can reverse a rape charge, you can reverse a murder charge, but you can't reverse an adoption. This is serious, guys. This is splitting up the whole of society, splitting down families. You're going to have broken families, right? You've got traumatized parents and then children who were traumatized ended up in the care system and adopted. It is just horrific beyond words. And when I, like, you know, I've been dealing with these cases for a little while now, and they're just far, there's just so many of them. It's unbelievable. But to be in that, to watch her like that, it was the most heartbreaking thing I've seen, you know. It really was, because I could just think, how on earth does she feel right now? She'd been in jail for a month, she'd been in prison for a month, and she was looking at that time simply for trying to contact her own children. It's so horrible. You know, these children end up in loveless lives, you know, because they're being passed from pillar to post and torn away from their loved ones. It's horrific. And we know a lot of money changes hands here as well. A friend of mine did some digging on social services and you know, so we'll do another show on this, because I haven't actually managed to look at it, but she did give me quite a bit of information. And last year, there were 2,960 adoptions, right, in 2023 at £33,000 each. That's £97,680,000, right? It's gone up now to £35,500 per child. So the money that is involved in this is insane. And the people who were involved, the organizations, the further the deeper you go, the more horrific it is. You know, it's a trafficking system. There's no doubt about it at all. And you know, what I think we won from that, I do think that maybe she would have had a sentence. I do think they were going to get, but because there were people in the gallery, which they clearly didn't want there, and hence why they did all the back and forth, you know, sort of cancelling it, adjourning it, changing it and whatever. I think we might have had a bit of an impact there in the not having a sentence, you know. So normally you're not going to know about these cases, guys, because they're in the secret family court, so you wouldn't know. However, when there's an opportunity like this to go to the criminal court in for any matter involving social services, we all need to be there. We all need to be there to show support and be there, stand in solidarity, because otherwise they just they're out of control. They are absolutely out of control. It's frightening, Lou. It really is. So I just want to say to people, you know, we will do more on social services. We will do more on social services. I do think now, because they're so out of control, it's becoming highlighted more and exposed more, I believe, you know. Listening to people and whatever, and see just people's comments on, like, the video I did yesterday, how many people this is happening to. It's unreal. Comments on this saying, this happened to me, this happened to my granddaughter, I'm going through this right now, this happened to me a long time ago. They're out of control, and you know, like I say, we need to, I don't even know how it can be done, Lou. I really don't, right? But we need to stop it somehow, and I think we just have to unite. I don't know, what do you
we do think? We do, and Ian does give the solutions, and at the moment, again, it's to do with the system that we have at the moment in place. You've got to go to your MPs. The secret courts have to be stopped. I just urge everybody to go in and have a listen to the show I did. And he's going to come back, because I know how much Kat wants to speak to him. So he's agreed to come back. I've also put him in touch with Gary Waterman.
Brilliant.
Because Gary's got a case going on there. So that's where we are.
We will keep you updated, guys, anything moving forward. But yeah, that's it for today on that. Go and listen to the Ian Joseph one. I know how many people are suffering right now.
Yeah.
So
too many.
Far too many. Far too many, Lou. Yeah. So moving on. Right.
Go on then.
As we've said before, many a times on our shows, Lou, about Wales in particular, and about how Wales has been a testing bed for all sorts of dodgy, sinister stuff, pilot schemes and whatever, for a while. And, you know, over recent years, it's becoming way, way more evident. Well, a few days ago, there was a case in Ammanford in Wales where a school was on lockdown. I knew this because a friend of mine's grandson was in the primary school, which wasn't where the incident took place, in a high school, but they actually locked down the primary school as well, which is a separate school. So she was there because her grandson was there. So she was filling me in what was going on. What had happened is a girl had stabbed three people. I think it was either two teachers and a student, or two students and a teacher. I can't remember. And there was air ambulance there. They were locked down. That the whole thing was, you know, obviously parents were running to the school demanding that their kids came out, and nothing had, you know, nobody was being sent out. There was police everywhere. It was actually, you know, that happened in Ammanford a couple of days ago. There was even a video that was circulating of the incident. I didn't see it, but I saw on there were comments that, you know, parents of the kids that had gone to that school had basically seen it, you know, because they were sharing them around on their Snapchats and whatever. So that happened on, I think it was Tuesday. So today, Ebervale is a school in Ebervale. And again, I know a mother whose children go there, but one of her, like, she's her daughter hasn't been in school, but her son was in the school. So she was chatting back and forth to me, telling me what was happening there. But what has happened in this case is, oh, you know, first of all, there's a boy in there and he's got a knife and he's threatening people and whatever. So they locked them down, right? So all the parents had was a text message from the school saying, oh, you know, hang on, I'm actually going to read the text messages. I'll read those. They're only short. But this is all that every parent. So bearing in mind, this school had locked down. Apparently there was somebody there with a knife, a boy there with a knife, and all they sent to the parents was, hang on, I've got these screenshots here, so I will read them to you. Oh, hang on a minute, I can't actually find them. Oh, I do apologise. Maybe I didn't have them. Well, basically, they had said, you know, there's an incident at the school. You know, there's been somebody threatening with a knife. All the children are completely fine. You know, they're not at risk and whatever. So obviously from a parent's point of view, you receive that, you're going to go nuts, right? So she was ringing the school constantly, no answer from the kids, nothing. So the natural thing you're going to do is get in your car and go down the school. It's exactly what she did. Well, there was loads of, hundreds of parents there. She was banging on, demanding, there was no police there, mind then, right? So she's demanding that your son comes out of the school, going nuts, you know, rightly so. So anyway, 25 minutes later, the police show up. No armed police, mind, right? Now, bearing in mind, apparently there's a kid in that school with a knife, you know, anything, weapons like that, they send armed police and stuff anyway. So nothing like that. And they kept the kids in there for 2 hours, and then they sent them out single file. Right. In the meantime, there were parents there threatening to boot the doors in and all sorts. So anyway, She's obviously, my friends obviously spoke to her son then and found out what had happened. So listen to this. So apparently there wasn't somebody in the school with a knife. The threat came from somebody outside the school who wasn't even, so this school is in Ebervale, a place called Ebervale. The perpetrator or so-called perpetrator, the threatening one, wasn't even in Ebervale, never mind the school. And that was what the police told my friend. And that's what they've reported on. So apparently it was a threat from somebody outside the school, but to a school child. Oh, I'm going to kill you with an, I don't know what the threat was, but that's what it was. So then they thought that it would be good to lock down the whole school, scare everyone, and then not be available to, you know, be contacted while these parents are, you know, going out of their mind. But what they were doing in one class, they had the kids hide under the tables. In another class, they had the kids, they just had to stay quiet. They weren't allowed to make a sound, and they weren't allowed under the tables. In another class, a 12-year-old boy, because at this point, the kids think that something's going on, isn't there? Someone's out there with a knife. A 12-year-old boy barricaded the door of the classroom that he was in because the teacher wouldn't do it, and the teacher gave him detention. And in another classroom, they had loud music playing, like a rave, and they, in another classroom, they were having a rave. All I could think that was going on here was a cycle. This is a training exercise and a psychological experiment that was done to see how people would react. If the teachers have all the same protocol for somebody who comes in with a knife, why weren't they doing all the same things? And why on earth were they having a rave in the classroom? This is absolutely insane, right? This is, so we had that 3 days ago. This never happens, you know, very rare. In London, there's stabbings all the times in schools, right? And this doesn't happen. Yet, in where this area of Wales, you very rarely hear of a stabbing, but very, very rarely. So for it to happen one day and then happen 2 days, 3 days later in the south of Wales as well. And somebody else told me that in Rhyl, which is in North Wales, they had had an email last week saying about the children being on lockdown as well. And that they were, so what they're doing is...
Hang on a minute. So was there evidence of a threatening stabbing?
No, none whatsoever. He wasn't.
So there's been no evidence. It's just hearsay that had come from somebody out of the area, but there's been no evidence that happened at all.
No, it didn't happen. Not this one today. Definitely.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So they're saying it was the reason why they locked down is because it happened in a different town near Ammerford, though.
No,
so you would think.
No. What it was, they first said that there was a boy in the school with a knife. That's what they were told. That's what they were told. That even the parents were told that. Right?
This is today. Yeah, this is today.
Yeah, this is today. So they thought that's okay. What happened, but it turns out, and this is reported locally as well, that there wasn't a threat in the school. It was from outside the area, from a boy who would threaten, he's in custody or whatever, who would send a threat to somebody who was actually in school at that time. So he was nowhere near, he wasn't even in the area.
But was there evidence of that actually happening with that boy actually doing that?
No, because it didn't happen. This is just, that's what I mean. They told them that so that they would think it happened, and then they started doing all this weird stuff. You stay in that
classroom. Wow.
Do you see what I mean? So it's psychological. Remember when Ronnie was on from Canada? Do you remember what she was saying with the girls and stuff? This is the same thing, look. This is exactly the same thing. And she even, it's obviously been out in America and Canada before us, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? So this is the thing that is happening now. These are like training exercises, but also psychological experiments to see how people react, even from the parents' point of view. Because what sense would it make to send them an email out like that, but then tell the teachers not to respond to anyone ringing in, so they could actually say, no, it's not, everything's... So that's why... So it's going to bring all those teachers to the school, see? So are they monitoring the behaviour of everyone? Do you know what I mean? Because this is going to traumatise children. This is going to absolutely traumatise kids. They know this. Honestly, this is psychological warfare. And it's happening in Wales. And it'll be happening everywhere, but we're just the pilot testing ground. So what are they going to do is now everyone will be shouting out they want no more security, and this is where the security, you know, this is where all your freedom, more, if you can believe it, more of your freedoms are going to be going, by the way, over this, because people,
well, I'm hoping it's going to make parents security. Not want their children to go into these places.
Definitely some of them will, without a shadow of a doubt, Lou. I got no doubt about that at all. There will be people who are like, I'm not.
But there are going to be the ones out there who were going to take the jab and get their children jabbed. And,
yeah,
you know,
there's a lot of kids in school who want to be there, mind as well. I get that a lot. Do you know what I mean? Where the parents want to home educate them, but the kids don't want to be home educated. I've said this before, haven't I? If you're going to do it when they're younger. Because otherwise you're in trouble, you know, they'll get to a point where they don't want to. And I've seen that happen quite a lot. So it is that. But, you know, there will be parents out there saying, no, I'm not taking, this is just no way. This is not happening. They're just going to take them out because, you know, they're psychologically damaging them. You know, they traumatized them through the COVID, telling them they were going to kill their gran. Do you know what I mean? And being scared to breathe air and stuff. That they were traumatized over that. And now they're going to be traumatized over this. You know, I mean, this is two high schools, right? So I haven't heard of it happening in a primary school yet, but you know, it's coming. Do you know what I mean? This is going to bring those, I think I can just imagine, you know, like the scanners you have in the airport when you go through and stuff. Like the high security level that they're going to bring out from this now is going to be massive. Do you know what I mean? It's really vital that people understand that, you know, this is a setup. I'm not saying the one from Ammanford was, but I don't know if they use that as an opportunity to chuck this in now. Do you see what I'm saying? Because the one in Ammanford was actually on screen. That did happen. People are, you know, they're in hospital. Like, they're okay. Nobody's dead, but, you know, they are wounded. They're injured. But I'm wondering if when that happened, they thought, it's got to be a good idea to do it now. Because they've obviously had it in the pipeline for ages, see? So, and because that happened the other day, it's going to be fresh in people's minds. People are, you know, they're scared.
Do you know what needs to be looked up? And James and I did this years and years ago. You look up strategic preparation plans.
Yeah, no, I've seen stuff on this within my...
So we did one years ago, and it was James who found it, and we found the strategic takeover. It's like it came from the Rothschild Institute or something, and it was frightening. It went absolute... This was in about 2011. But that's strategic, like preparation plans, like emergency plan. You go, there will be a document where it will be out there.
Oh, 100%. Same as event 201. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like that was the same thing. Yeah. So they're just playing out what they've already done, but obviously lying about it. To get people scared, so they'll go, yes, please, we need all the security you can possibly, go on, chip the hand as well, chip the hand, you know, we don't want anything happening to our kids. This is why they're doing it. This is why I believe they're doing it. I think it's quite obvious because nothing happened there today. And the rave one was just mad for me. Like, what on earth? That's how I knew, really. I was like, hang on a minute. They're telling them to do different things, in this scenario. They're figuring out what behavior. I'm not saying the teachers mind, I'm saying again, this has come from above. And the teachers, there was one comment on there, or it was like a few comments on there, where they were saying we were just told to stay in and not let the kids out. So I don't even know if they knew what was going on, you know. I'm guessing that we'll hear more about it, and that's why they couldn't get. I don't know, I really don't know. But that is not normal. You know, why on earth would that happen unless it was for an agenda? And we know what the agenda is anyway, so this is just more evidence of it. But just for people, just to warn you guys, we don't know how much this is going to be coming. 2 in 3 days. Like I say, the first one I believe is absolutely genuine, but they've used it as an opportunity, I think. So, and by the way, I don't know if we've done a show since then. Yeah, did I mention?
You haven't done the show this week.
The home educating, and they come in for them. I did do that, didn't I?
Yeah. But you can just jump over that. You can just remind people.
I mean, that's obvious. What happened. So for the people who are going to take them out now, do you know what I mean? This is the thing. You're going to bring more home educators in for that now, but they're also, you know, clamping down on the home educators. And I just want to say something as well, by the way, just in case people don't know. You don't have to consent to them coming in. coming into your home. And actually, when you do that, that's when they start making their judgments. It's perfectly legal to send them, you know, samples of your children's, well, you don't even have to do that, but it's perfectly legal for you to send them through. Always do everything through email, no phone calls, no coming around or whatever. That's not compulsory. You don't have to. You can just contact them through email and make sure everything.
If they contact you, try and record the call. It won't be admissible in court because they have to agree to it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But record everything for your own peace of mind.
Or you could even, if they phone you, say, do you mind putting this in an email? That's the best thing. Actually say, can you put this in an email? We'll do it like that. Do you know what I mean? So nothing can be misconstrued and whatever then, you know, same sort of thing. But they're coming down really hard on them. Like I say, there's a couple of people have already had these CMEs and you know, school attendance orders and whatever. They're coming out thick and fast. It's crazy here in Wales. It is absolutely, it's going nuts, Lou. I mean, I know it is everywhere, but it just seems to be really stepping up.
Oh, Wales is the testing ground. I mean, your government, you've got to get that government out. You've got to.
I know.
It's got to be done. It's frightening. Absolutely frightening.
The thing is, it's all corrupt, isn't it? It's hard, you know, but there are people running in the elections that shouldn't be in the elections. So, go on, Ev, what was you going
to
say?
Yeah, that's really like, everyone go and listen to that show. That's all 100%. I'm going to say. Yeah. And he will be back on when we're both here, because what an incredible man.
Hero, Lou.
Yeah, absolutely. So I just want to bring one more story up before I touch on Diddy. This is from Media Matters. Media Matters are the censorship arm of the government. They are disgusting. So this article came out day before yesterday. Board members of Michael Flynn's organisation are allegedly sending leads from QAnon conspiracy theorists to law enforcement. Oh, they are in a total and utter panic. So they're saying...
Matters.
Yeah, they're the ones who ban everything. Media Matters twist things. They are... a revolting organization. Brian and I did loads on them. Hugh Grant was behind the UK Media Matters arms, just restricted, like stopping free speech.
Basically.
Do you know what I mean? That is what Media Matters are. They're a huge organization. And they must be getting worried, and they must know that something is about to happen, as they are doing a whole hit piece. A whole hit piece on Q and General Flynn. The former National Security Advisors Group, America's Future, has been increasingly tied to the conspiracy theory QAnon. A QAnon influencer claimed on Sunday that he and other QAnon-connected figures are using their connection and contacts with local police forces to share leads from supporters of the conspiracy theory. Ben Moore, a member of America's Future, an organisation run by former National Security Advisor General Flynn, has become increasingly tied to QAnon. So,
ridiculous, isn't it?
They are now trying to shut it down.
It's not working.
It's not working.
It's too big now.
Yeah. So they are trying to... guess what? Listen to this. You'll like this one. Right-wing media are using the Cass report to push for broad restriction on trans rights.
Wow, honestly.
That's their headline for today. Anti-trans media use the flawed findings in the Cass report to push misinformation and restrictions on trans health and care, and seemingly to justify violence. Shut the friggin' up. But they are trying to close down social. They are trying to close down more and more of conservative-leaned podcast, not conservative party, but conservative values, Christian values. They are trying to get it silent. And I'm just looking at the picture that they have used for the right-wing media are using CAS report to push broad restrictions on trans right and even violence against parents of trans youth. That's the headline. And I'm pretty sure that that flag isn't it probably is the trans flag, but it also looks like the MAP flag. They're very clever like that, aren't they? The way they've integrated the MAP flag to look ever so like the trans flag.
Yeah, exactly. They're disgusting, aren't they? And I'm sick of hearing all this anti-trans right wing. No, this has nothing to do with that. We're just stating the facts, you know? What newspaper was that in? The right wing.
It's not, it's on Media Matters. So this is what's going to happen now. They're going to go after shutting down people anyone who's speaking out against trans. That's exactly what they're saying. And what they say generally comes, they are huge. Media Matters. I've done so much of them in the past.
I actually have.
They're a disgusting organisation. They're here in the UK. They got us shut down the UK column when we had to do the broadcasting from the car and the kitchen.
No.
Because apparently we were too news-like. So then we carried on doing it in the car, in the kitchen, sitting out on a piece of grass, I think.
Where there's a will, there's a way.
Exactly, just so we weren't too news-like. But if we hadn't have abided by the rules of Ofcom, it was whatever the name was, they were going to bill us like 500 grand or something.
Wow.
Because we were acting as a news show, but we're the only people like who were producing truth news at the time in the UK, really. So isn't it a funny old world? Funny old world it is. So Diddy still hasn't been arrested. People are asking, and Liz Crokin made a very good point. If you don't know who Liz Crokin is, she's the journalist. She was a mainstream journalist. She was in the White House. She interviewed somebody linked to Jay-Z's lover, who then was supposed to be interviewed, and she suddenly died on the way there. She's exposed Jay-Z. She exposed that disgusting Chrissy Teigen. She got thrown off of Twitter. She exposed Pizzagate. She's really been in the run. She's incredible, Liz Crokin. And she made a good point. They started their investigations on Epstein the second time round, 2014. I mean, it should have been a lot. No, should have been way sooner, because we were talking about it here in the UK in 2011. But the actual official investigation into Epstein was like 2014, 2015. And it took all those years for it to materialise to where it is. Diddy's got a lot of lawyers. This Lord Lucian Grange, who's head of Universal Music, you know, he's buried. This is it, as we keep saying. We are watching something biblical going on in these times at the moment. We really are. And if nobody has listened to the two shows so far that Christine and I've done, just on prophecy news, I urge everybody to go and listen to the first one. It's only 15 minutes long. But you know what? We're living in amazing times, and everything can change. Just literally click of a finger. God's got this. He's in control here.
Definitely. Definitely.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's all quiet with Diddy. You know, 50 Cent still give beef to him. Let's wait and see. The lists are just going to get longer and longer. You know, Ellen DeGeneres, obviously Oprah. Yeah. There's all the links to the Tupac's death. He's linked to Aaliyah's death. Don't know if there's links to Lisa Left Eye Lopez, but probably. Alan Davis, is it Clive Davis? Yeah, it's Clive Davis. He was one of sugar daddies to Diddy. He was involved in the death of Whitney Houston. So, yeah, dark, it's dirty, and it's Diddy.
It's dark, it's dirty, and it's Diddy. Yeah.
That's it. That's all you need to say. And where the hell is Kate? info@libertytactics.co.uk. If you've got any Kate tips, let us know. Everyone knows my thoughts. I think we're suddenly going to get, it's taken all a turn for the worse for her. So, and I haven't actually had a look recently to see if Rose has been in the paper. William's out there pruning his rose bushes while Kate's missing. Yes. Final words, Catherine.
Guys, you've got to listen to the Ian Joseph show that Lou did with him earlier. I still haven't, I've only listened to the first 5 minutes, and honestly, you really do. I'm reading his book as well. I know it's going to be a real eye opener for many, but obviously for those who are going through this disastrous, just cruel process, there'll be some really important information for you too, guys. I'll try and pin it to the top of my post, but it'll be on Liberty Tactics anyway. Yeah. So yeah, have a great weekend, everybody.
We may come back on over the weekend if there's any major prophecy things going on, because we are into day 4 or 5 of Passover at the moment. Again, please go and listen to the prophecy show that myself and Christine did earlier in the week. It explains a lot and why this Passover is so important. Jason's going to be back next week. And guess who's coming on, Catherine?
Who?
Paul Fitch is going to be on with us on Monday.
Oh, fantastic.
Our Paul.
Bless him. Oh, I can't wait for that. It'd be great to speak to him.
Our Paul, him and I traipsing around London at the crack of dawn in the morning, trying to find an English cab in London. Impossibility. And then somebody goes and serves me something laced with nuts.
Oh, it'd be great to have him on. I'm looking forward to it.
Brilliant. Okay, my love. That's it. LibertyTactics.co.uk, ExposingTheLie.info, PublicChildProtectionWales.org, and Christine is Q Team Awesome over on Truth Social. That's it for tonight. We may be back over the weekend. If not, we will be back on Monday. If you want to buy us a coffee, we'd love that. That's it. God bless and good night.
God bless. Good night.